what does Easter mean? Like Pastor John, he mentioned about that. It might mean holidays. It might mean camping. Who would want to go camping? It always rains over Easter. So just saying. But, you know, it might be hot cross buns or whatever it is, chocolate, family, lots of things. Easter for me, my earliest memories of Easter were in New Zealand. And my grandfather was a minister. And I used to go with him to the Easter camps. And I loved it. I loved it because I get to play with the kids. And there, whenever like the bell rang, there was this big, massive bell. And when the bell rang, that meant that church was on. Well, I used to take off down the beach because, like, I'm not going to church. But that was me. Like, that's what I would do. I'd hear the bell and run. You know what? I've been running from God a lot of my life, actually. I didn't give my heart to Him until I was in my late 30s. So even though I'd had opportunities, I believed about God, but I didn't have a relationship with Him. You know, and when I did get a relationship with Him, obviously it's changed my life so much completely. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart a little bit later on. So we celebrate Easter, like on Good Friday. Yes, it was Jesus died. And we reflect on what He did for us. He took our sin. He took our shame. He took our pain. And He took our sickness. He willingly experienced the most horrendous beating and was crucified. He did that for us. And 3 days later, yes, today, Easter Sunday, He rose again. He rose from the dead. And do you know that Jesus, He predicted, He told His disciples that He was going to die and that He was going to be raised from the dead. Like in Luke 9:22, it actually says, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," He said. This is Jesus speaking. "He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day, He will be raised from the dead." Jesus, He was not a victim. He was a victor. Jesus had victory over sin, over the powers of darkness and over death. So when He rose from the dead, it's so that we could experience abundant life now and in eternity. So He foretold that, but in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Now, He wasn't even born when the Old Testament was written. He wasn't born then. So all of those prophecies were written before He was born. Now, you could be thinking, oh, He might have been a really smart man and read them all. Like, that's a lot of prophecy. You know, I thought, oh, now I've got to do this, now I've got to do that. But really, there are so many things that are out of His control. It was prophesied the exact manner of His death, His burial, even His birth, even His birthplace. I mean, what about if He read it and He went, oh, no, I should have been born in Bethlehem. Oh, damn, too late. No, you can't do that. So all those prophecies were written way before He was born. Now, Belle talked about Alpha. Alpha is a course that we have here where you learn those sorts of things, the evidence of Jesus, the evidence. What, you know, who really is Jesus? Like, does He actually heal people? Yes, He does. Does He actually, like, help us? Yes, He does. Does He actually love us? Yes, He does. So all those things are in that course, which I'll talk a little bit about later on. So Easter holds a powerful message for us about new beginnings. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." See, Jesus is about transformation. From despair to hope. If you're struggling in your jobs or in your relationships or with health or finances, like Jesus, He brings hope. Nothing is that disastrous that He cannot get you to the other side. He can. It doesn't matter what it is. He can. Like my grandfather, as I said, was a minister. He was a minister in the Ringatū Church. See, I told you you're going to learn some Māori things tonight. Ringa means hand, tu means to stand. So upraised hand, that's Ringatū, that's the name of the church. It was Christian. So my grandfather was a minister of that, the head of the church. And at that time, you know, I was a runner. I loved going to pray with my cousins, but I really wasn't into church. It was boring, and I really didn't understand it either because I didn't speak Māori at the time. So I didn't have any understanding. It could have been, they could have been speaking Turkish or whatever. It wouldn't have mattered. I would not have known what they were saying. Now, just a little bit about myself. My mother and father, they fell pregnant with me. My mum was 16 years old. So she's a young pregnancy. And my parents got married, because that's what you did then. If you got pregnant, you got married. So my parents got married, and they separated in their early 20s. I was 6 years old when they separated. And you know what? For years, I really thought that it was my fault, that it was my fault they separated. And there's a reason why I thought that. It's because I'd made a mistake. I'd done something wrong that affected my life, but I really felt it affected theirs so much that they couldn't work their marriage out. So when I was 6 years old, I was playing with friends. We went to, it was in Kawerau in the Bay of Plenty of New Zealand. We were playing and we were going to cook some puha. Like puha is, hey, you guys are really learning stuff. Puha is like watercress. It's like some, you know, grassy stuff. Anyway, we were collecting puha. And it was my job to cook it. So in New Zealand, there are hot pools. Like, do you know what hot pools are? Have you seen hot pools? Yep. Not a mud pool, but a hot pool. So it's boiling. It is boiling water. It is over 100 degrees, and it's boiling. And so I was there with my stick, and my puha was in the water, and I'm cooking it, because that's what you do. You can cook it. Now, we were there without any adult supervision. This is what I meant. I made a mistake. I felt so bad about that, and that's what separated my parents. So we were there, and there I was cooking the puha, and the bank gave way, and I fell into the hot pool. It was, and I just remember screaming, and of course it was me. Like I was screaming, but I was trying to crawl my way out of this hot pool, but the bank just kept giving way. I was, and my friends, like they were trying to get me out, but like we were all like six or seven. It just really was pretty hard. Eventually, I managed to get out, and there was this little creek next to it, and it had about that much water in it. And really, it was one of the things that probably saved my life. They sat me in that water. Now, we had no mobile phones. I'm talking about the early 70s. No mobile phones. Gosh, I don't even remember if I knew my home phone number at that time. But anyway, my friends had to get on their bikes and go and get my dad. So that took time. Might have been 20 minutes. All I remember is my dad, because obviously I'm in pain. I don't even know what's going on. I'm unconscious, coming back, going forward, out, in, out, in, out. He comes, he gets me. He lifts me up. All I can remember is he's swearing. And I'm like, wow, I've done something so bad. Just the lack of understanding. I'm thinking, what have I done? Like, he's swearing and he's crying, and I'm thinking, what is going on? So he takes me to our doctor, because there's not a hospital in the town that I'm in. He takes me to the doctor. The doctor cuts my clothes off me because I fell in up to my waist, and they peel off. My skin just peels off with my clothes, and it's you know, obviously painful, but I'm so in and out of consciousness, I don't even know what's going on at the time. And we are still talking early 70s. They don't have the things for burns like you do now. So they go, what are we going to do? Because being that small and burnt that badly, they really did think I was going to die. So they say, get the family together. We'll try and get her to the hospital. It's half an hour away. My dad goes, I'm taking her in the car, because my dad's a bit of a lead foot. Like, I'll get her there faster than any ambulance. So anyway, we go in the car, and we didn't have to wear seatbelts either in those days. I'm in the back, you know, like, here we go. We get there. Now, at the time that I fell into that hot pool, my grandfather was 200 kilometres away in Whitianga, which is, he was on the top of a building, doing some building with my great-grandfather. And what happened? When that happened, he put his tools down, and my great-grandfather said to him, he aha te raru raru, which means, what's wrong? And my grandfather said, there's something wrong with Teresa. So he put it down. I mean, really, who needs a mobile phone when you got the Holy Spirit, right? So he gets in, they get like, so my great-grandfather goes, right, stop, let's go then. They just jump in the car and they start heading back to Whakatane, which is where the, I'm not swearing, where the hospital is. Well, I can tell I'm going to get some feedback after this one. But anyway, yeah. So where the hospital is. So while my dad is driving to the hospital, my grandfather and my great-grandfather on their way back, and one of our family, because all the family are coming, because I'm not going to make it. This is what they thought. The doctor said there's no way she's going to die. No one's actually survived this ever, even now. There's like even now. My cousins, they wave down my grandfather and they say she's in the hospital. She's going. So they get to the hospital just as I'm arriving. So all I remember is being in this bed. I mean, they couldn't really do anything for me. And my family are around me. The rest of my family, not so much into God, but my grandfather and my great-grandfather are. So they are praying in Māori, which could be like speaking in tongues if you know what that is. But they're praying. And all I remember, I'm in and out, and so much pain. And then I see just above some of my family's heads, like a light. You know, Jesus, he's the light. God is light, and there is no darkness in him. I just see a light, and the pain goes. And I know, and I don't know how I know this, but I know that I'm going to live. I know it. And obviously, I did live. But what happened, that was the beginning of my miracle. The pain left. I wasn't in any pain, but I was still lying there. They still don't know what to do. And it was a journey because the doctors, because they hadn't seen a case like this, I mean, I couldn't walk at all. I could hardly sit up. It took me a month to be able to sit. So they didn't think that I would ever walk again at all. But you know what? 3 months later, I ran out of that hospital. Yeah. The second thing was they thought that because of my age, I would have to have skin graft operations every year because, my skin wouldn't be able to grow with me. I've actually never had one skin graft operation. Yeah, I know. And then the other thing that they thought was they thought that, I would never be able to have children because of, you know, the water got on the inside of me. So they just doubted that. But I've had two sons naturally as well. So that's a miracle of Jesus. That's what happens. I mean, obviously my grandfather and my great-grandfather, they were praying for me continuously. But they believed in God and I knew it. And I knew God saved me then. And you think wow, what took you so long then to actually follow him? It's lack of understanding. Because I believed about God. I didn't even know you could have a relationship with him. I didn't know that. So that was a crazy, crazy thing. But so miraculous because, believe me, I believe in doctors, but my faith is in God. You know, God uses people. He uses doctors, but our faith is in God. He's miraculous. And I'm just grateful that my grandfather's actually had faith. Who is around you that has faith? Do you have faith for your children? You have faith for your family. That I'm very grateful for that. But our God, he's a God of hope. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He is a God of hope. Our future is not dark and hopeless. It's not. It's full of hope and joy. When you believe in Jesus, your future is full of hope and joy. You know, I feel sometimes you feel like you can have wounds. You can have wounds that people can wound us, give us wounds. We can get hurt. But God, he doesn't want to leave us like that at all. He doesn't want to. God is interested in us and everything about us. He cares if we feel anxious. He cares if we're not well. He cares about restoring our families. You know, and God, he does not reject any person. Throughout my life, I've been rejected many, 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 many times. So much so that I always felt not good enough. But do you know what? God, he never rejected me. He accepted me. He approved of me. And he accepts and approves of you. He will never reject you. So, you know, somehow God just makes a way where there seems like no way. He really does. Like, and he tells you about yourself. He tells you about who you are. But he also tells you about the great plan that he has for you, the future that he has for you. In Jeremiah 29:11-14, it says, this is God speaking. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. It doesn't matter what your situation looks like around you. God is greater than any obstacle you may be facing. Whenever I face an obstacle, I have this scripture. It's in Psalm 97:5 where it says, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. And it's just in my mind. Whenever there's any kind of obstacle, if I'm not feeling well, the mountains melt. Because I get a picture of Mount Taranaki. I went to high school in New Plymouth, which is on the west coast of the North Island. And that's where Mount Taranaki is. It's also called Mount Egmont. It is like 2,500 meters high. I mean, it really is a mountain. When I first came to Australia, and when I came to the Sunshine Coast, they were going, oh, let's go to Mount Coolum. I'm like, yeah. And like, we get in the car, and I arrive, and I'm like, where is it? Because I'm like, do you know, like, Mount Coolum is 208 meters. A mountain to me is 2,500 meters. That's a mountain. Like, Mount Coolum's like a hill. Like, really, I don't even know if it's like, even we've got bigger hills than that in New Zealand. But anyway, but I get that picture of Mount Taranaki in my mind. If there's an obstacle and I think, wow, it's big. But I think, you know what, God, the mountain melts like wax in the presence of the Lord. And I start to see the mountain just going like wax. And all of a sudden, it's leveled out. And really, it happens. I know it sounds, you think, oh, how does that even work? It works. It works. It really does. When we speak the word of God over our lives, it has power. His word is powerful. It's alive. It's living, powerful. It is amazing. So if you've got any obstacles, that's what you can do. You can get a scripture from God's word, the Bible, and speak it over yourself. And it will make a difference because his word never returns void. It always goes off and accomplishes what he sent it for. That's the power of his word. So he's concerned about every area of our life. Some areas of our life may seem beyond our control. But you know, there's no area of your life that is beyond the reach of God who loves you. None of it. He can reach every area of your life. In John 10:10, it says, Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full and overflowing. Jesus came so we would have life in abundance to the full and overflowing. God created us to live a full, abundant life. Not a life, like not a so-so life, not a mediocre life. A full, abundant life. He did. He did that. And in Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, he didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to tell us all the mistakes we made. He didn't come to say, oh, like, remember when you lied last week? Oh, remember when you did this? Oh, remember when you did that? No, he did not come to condemn us. He came to help us change on the inside out. His resurrection power can cancel our past. For me, that was such a relief. All of our failures, all of our mistakes, all of our sins and regrets, and I've had many. I mean it. Like I said, I didn't start following Jesus until I was in my late 30s. I had a lot of time to have a lot of regrets. to have a lot of mistakes, to do a lot of nasty things, and also have a lot of nasty things done to me. So I was full of offense and hurt, and man, I was like angry. I was like, yeah, I don't have a black belt in karate. It's taekwondo, actually. We're more into jumping and kicking heads, you know, so that's, yeah, karate are more like on the ground people, but anyway, there you go. So yeah, get those chairs happening, people. Like, so yeah, God has resurrection power which can cancel our past failures and mistakes. And I always think of this like, I don't know whether they still have them now, but my sons used to have, I think they used to be called Magna Doodles or something, like they're magnetic boards and you can draw on them, And the thing is, you can make a big massive mess or whatever. You draw, like, do they still have them now? I don't. Yeah, they do. Awesome. Amazing. I thought it would be just iPads now. Do your thing on the iPad. But anyway, but the thing about it, it had this little knob at the bottom. You could make, made all this mess, and then you just like, and it was clean. It was just wiped clean. Do you know the Bible says that's what God does with the mistakes we've made? When we come to Him, when we ask for forgiveness, He wipes the slate clean. He gets the little button and He goes, zzz, and it's gone. Zzz, and it's gone. I had a lot of zzz, 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 zzz. Yeah. Oh, Josh down here is like, zzz, zzz, zzz. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but you know, this is what Jesus can do. He can do that. And there's this song, and some of the words of this song, you know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The day that I actually gave my heart to Jesus, that song was playing. I've never forgotten it because I thought, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When He died on the cross and He shed His blood, that's what He did it for, to wash away our sin, to make us whole again. When He was dying on the cross, He said, it is finished. And in Greek, there's one word for it. I'm not going to say it because I'm not Greek. But anyway, it means paid in full. It's actually an accounting term to mean paid in full. So Jesus, He was declaring that He had paid the price in full for everyone and every sin that was ever and will be committed. He has already paid the price in full. When I was walking through to my garage, like, yeah, I know, just totally changed here. I opened the door and then the wind blew and bam, it just banged the wall. Don't you hate that? Because then the knob like hit the wall and it made a little dent in it. So there's like this little hole in the wall. And then what happened, it started getting bigger because then the wind kept catching, bang, bang, bang. So the hole just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, oh, I've got to fix that. This is a spec filler job. Go to Bunnings. Like, it took me a while, but a week later, I went to Bunnings to get some spec filler. And then I put the spec filler actually on the bench next to the hole in the wall, so it's nice and close. So when I get a chance, I will do that. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, still sitting on the bench. And oh, it's just so annoying. It was just getting on my nerves. I'm thinking, like, what is it doing? Why doesn't it just sort itself out? No. I had to go and get that spec filler. And honestly, it took me less than a minute. It's embarrassing even saying it now. But it did. Just got it out. Done. And it was filled. Do you know, to apply, when I think about it, nothing happened, nothing changed with that hole until I applied the spec filler. Now, I think about this with the blood of Jesus. Unless you apply the blood of Jesus, what can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you know what? You can hear about it. You can hear it in that song that I just talk to you about. We can sing songs about the blood of Jesus. We can sing songs about his relationship. We can sing songs. We can sit next to somebody who's actually got a relationship with God. We can sit next to them. We can sing songs. We can hear about it. But unless we actually apply the blood of Jesus to ourselves, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Nothing at all. We need to have our own relationship, our own faith in God. I talked about my grandfather earlier. He used to tell me, because he told me the rest of the story. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that my grandfather even told me about him being on the roof and all that stuff happening. I didn't even know about that. He told me about that. But he used to say to me, you know what, Teresa? You can't rely on my relationship with God. When I die, when my toes are pointing upwards, that's how he talked. When my toes are pointing upwards, that means when he's dead, I'm going to have my own relationship with God. He used to say that, and I'd go, yeah, grandfather, while you're around, can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? Even when I was living in Australia and one of my sons was sick, I'd ring my grandfather, hey, grandpa, you know, one of the boys is sick, can you pray for him? See, I believed about God, but no relationship myself with him. I just believed about it. When my grandfather actually died, it was a horrible day for me. I used to live with my grandparents for 4 years. It was awful. You know, he had such an impact in my life. And that's when I realized, I got back from to Australia and everything just started going wrong. My cat died. I loved that cat. It was Kitty. Anyway, then my son got sick. He was 9 months old, and he had an RSV virus, and babies were dying under the age of 12 months. He was in hospital. He was in an oxygen tent. All these things were going. I was so sick. I was on a nebulizer. I never even used to get asthma, but I could. These things were all happening, and I'm thinking, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's because grandpa's not here. I can't ring my grandfather. Who am I going to call? I can't call my grandfather now. And I knew it. I just knew it. And I'm like, well, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. So I'm in the hospital with my son. He's got tubes up his nose and his feet and hands and everything. He's 9 months old and he's in an oxygen tent and it's not looking great. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to pray. So I just get on my knees because I don't even know what I'm doing. And I think, well, God, I know you don't know me, but you know my grandfather. And I know that, you know, you healed people through him. Heal my son. That was it. Simple. Within 3 days, my son was out of hospital, not just out of hospital, fit as a fiddle. It was such a turnaround. They were just, whoa, what happened there? That's the power of God. But do you know what? That's the power of having your own faith. You can't rely on anybody else. So right now, I want to give you that opportunity, an opportunity to invite a God that loves you into your heart. So very soon, I would love to say a prayer with us all where we surrender to Jesus and we just give our lives to him, our hearts to him. But before we do that, you've heard a bit now, I haven't always followed God, but now you know that you need a relationship yourself. You might be here today and you've never had a relationship with God. I just want you to know he loves you. He can give you a fresh start. He can wipe the slate clean. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you're from, who you are, how old you are, doesn't matter. He loves you. So very soon, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just from your seat before we say that prayer. That's the first category of type of person that I'm talking about. If you've never had a relationship with God, but today you know that you want one. The second type of person is you might have been in a church before. You might have gone to youth. You might have gone to Sunday school. You might have had some sort of upbringing with God, but for some reason you walked away. Might have been the busyness of life, or it could have been that you just didn't connect at the time. But today you know, and you can even feel God tugging at your heart now, and you want to reconnect with him. Very soon I'm going to ask you as well, if that's you today, just to raise your hand, just from your seat. The third type of person I'm talking about is, you might be here today and you actually believe that God is real, but you're not certain that you're going to go to heaven, and you want that assurance. That assurance only comes through surrendering your heart to Jesus. That's the only way it is. So if I could just ask you to close your eyes. If you're here today and you're one of those three types of people, either you've never had a relationship with God, but today you know you want one, or you want to reconnect to him, or you want to be certain that you are going to heaven. Right now, just from where you are, I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you, I see your hand down the front, over to the right. Thank you, I see your two hands down the back. Who else is here today that wants to have a relationship with God, a God who loves you, who brings your spirit to life, who comes on the inside of and walks alongside you, takes burdens off you? Who else is there today? I feel like there's three more people here. God is calling you. Your heart might be beating. He loves you so much. Who else is there today that wants to have a relationship with him? Thank you. I see your hand down the back. Every Christian is praying. He'll never reject you. He's calling out to you. I think there's five now. Who else wants to join these five people to say that prayer, the prayer that can change your life, can change your heart? Let him step into your heart. Is there anyone else that wants to join in this prayer? Amazing. Thank you. I see your hand. Can I just ask you just to lift your hand one more time, just so that as we pray this prayer, those that lifted your hand, just lift it one more time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Great. You can put your hand down. So we're going to say, keep your eyes closed. We're going to say this prayer together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then you just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I'm sorry. I renounce the devil and all his ways. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Show me how to live. I thank you that I am forgiven. I'm set free and I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just pray for those that raised their hand. I thank you, Father, that you saw every raised hand. Oh, Lord, I thank you that there's a celebration happening. I thank you that you love them. I thank you, Father, that right now your love is pouring into their heart by your Spirit. I thank you that you know what's going on in them. Lord, I pray that you'd place the right people around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give them a hand, everyone. So, so good. We love it. So great. Brilliant. Congratulations. If that was you and you made that decision tonight, there's just a couple of things that we'd love you to do. The first one is just keep coming back to church. So we're here every Sunday, 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And the second thing is we have a course that I talked about earlier called Alpha that can help you to know more about Jesus and more about you. You get together with a group of people, you have something to eat, watch a little video and discuss it. And you can ask any questions you like. It actually starts next Sunday in the afternoon at 3:50 next Sunday. But come along to that. Honestly, I've facilitated Alpha more than 50 times, I reckon. But I love it every time. It's brilliant. You will get so much out of it. So I encourage you to do that. Well, great news. Let me just pray for everyone. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, oh, that you're here. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that as we celebrate you, oh, we're just so grateful that we know you. And Lord, I just pray for every person. Lord, I pray specifically for restoration in families. I had a picture of just family, but one person on the outside, but them coming back. So Lord, I just pray, whoever that is, Lord, I pray for restoration in that family in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, whether it's a phone call, Lord, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it is, I just pray for restoration. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that you're on their hearts, you're with them, and that you're for them. In Jesus' name, amen.